All right. Now, while I'm just setting up the media equipment, if you can turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 11, please. Genesis chapter number 11 and verse 9. Let's begin with this verse. Genesis chapter number 11 and verse 9. Let's begin actually in verse 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Verse 9, therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and your word. We pray that you would encourage us and challenge us and help us, Lord, to pass down the truth of your word to the next generation, that it may not be forgotten. Lord, we pray that you would speak to your word through us in a special way. May we glorify you this evening. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Well, the title of the presentation this morning is the Record of Genesis in the Chinese language. Now, before we begin, notice with me the account of the Tower of Babel. The Bible tells us that it's right here that the languages, the primary languages of the world were created. The Bible tells us that mankind was of one language. And the Bible tells us that following the flood, as you know, mankind rebelled against God. They built a tower, the Tower of Babel, to establish themselves upon the earth. And God had to put a stop to that event. And God, in order for him to make sure that everyone didn't stay in one place and that they spread abroad throughout all the earth, what did God do? He confounded their language. God suddenly caused everyone that was there to have a different language, so they couldn't understand each other, and they had to spread abroad the face of the earth, and each of them that had common languages went with one another, and they all spread across the face of the earth. Now, the interesting thing about the Chinese language is that it is the oldest continuously written language in the world, and it's in use today, and it is over 4,500 years old. Now, that means that the Chinese language, the creation of the characters of the Chinese language, predate, of course, the time of Christ during his earthly ministry. And in fact, it predates Buddhism and Taoism, which are the most common religious practices in China at the moment. It predates the life of Buddha. And in fact, it predates the writing of the first five books of the Bible. And the interesting truth is, if the Chinese language was written so long ago, if the Bible is true, then they should have known what happened at the Tower of Babel. They should have known the events that surrounded the flood. In fact, they would have been passed down, the knowledge would have been passed down to them in regards to God's creation and the fall. And so I want us to look at the characters of the Chinese language and look at what we can see within these different symbolic characters. Now, the inventors of the Chinese language drew pictures to express words or ideas. Now, we understand when we see a Chinese character is very different from the letter L or the letter N that we use to pronounce sounds for words. They created pictographs, if you will, pictogram type characters. And simple pictures were combined to make more complex thoughts. Now, here's one simple example, just to set the tone for the presentation this evening. The older brother in a family was the spokesperson for that family. So here's the character for elder brother, and it's made up of two parts, mouth there on the left and man. So the elder brother was the mouth man. He was the spokesperson of the family. So you can see very simply that certain pictures and symbols were used to make up a character to give it meaning. And if you can imagine, if you were living in that day 4,500 years ago, and you had to write down and create a language system, you would obviously use the simplest and most common, well-known thoughts and ideas around at the time so that everyone would understand what that character meant. Now, tonight we're using as far as the Chinese characters are concerned, we're using the simplified modern version. I left a book on the table at the entrance, which shows and displays the original bone characters that that were a part of the original Chinese language. But in the modern version we see today, we can still see some wonderful truths. So the elder brother was the mouth man, as you can see in these separate parts, the legs there at the bottom and the mouth at the top. So that's just one simple example. So could the ancient Chinese people have known about what the Bible tells us, about the events of the flood? Could they have known biblical truth? If the Bible is true and they wrote the language 4,500 years ago, they should have known something. They should have known something about the truth of God. Well, let's consider the evidence that we find in the Chinese language. Now, here in Genesis chapter 11, verse 9, we see that that's when the people were divided. A great division took place. Everyone went their own way with their own language group. And when we consider the China, well, that took place 5,000 years ago, just, 500 years approximately before the Chinese language was written. So they would have known about the Tower of Babel. They would have understood what took place. The languages of the people were divided. Now, here's a map. We know where the Chinese people ended up today. Now, obviously, they went from the west over to the east. And that's the direction they would have gone if we put on our biblical glasses and say, yes, the Tower of Babel, they went from there to China. Now, they would have migrated and walked from the west to China. Here is the character for migrate. Notice the different parts it is made up of. A great division and a west walk. Is it just coincidence when the Chinese, the ancient Chinese, developed their language system that when they thought of the character for migrate, they thought about a great division that took place in the past? They thought about walking from the west. Well, it could be a coincidence. It could be, but there's interesting biblical truth right there, isn't there? Let's continue on and see more. Now, when we look at the character for talking, to talk, notice these parts that make up the character: dust, breath, a mouth also representing breath, and alive. So a living, breathing form of dust. Now, if you were to create a character for the word talk, I dare say you and I would think about communication, we might think about friends, we might think about loved ones, we might think about all sorts of things. I dare say we wouldn't think about the idea of dust, the idea of living dust, the idea of talking dust. Now, what does the Bible tell us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's interesting, isn't it? The character for talking. Now notice the character for creating, to create. Notice the character for talking has been integrated into the character for create. What do we see there? To talk and to walk. So the Chinese created a character for talking and the idea of creating, which referred to a living dust person. When they thought of the idea of creating, it seems like what they were referring to was God's original creation. God creating a living, breathing creation from dust. And these are very specific references, very specific and biblical, biblically accurate pictures. For example, let's have a look at the character for first. Now, according to the Bible, who was first? Adam. Adam was first. He was made of the dust of the ground. Now, if you were to, again, try to think of a character to represent the idea of something that is first, you might think of all sorts of ideas. What did the ancient Chinese have in their mind for what was first? What would be something that everyone would know and what would be common to everyone when it came to something that was first? Alive. That's the stroke there on the left. Dust and man. A living dust man was the most common idea of bringing together the character of that which is first. A living dust man. And of course we've seen Adam was the first creation of God, made in the image of God. A living dust man. Now, is it possible that 4,500 years ago, the people in China believed that the first man was created from dust? Well, it is very possible, according to their language system. Now, here is the character for happiness and blessing. Now, if you've ever been to Chinatown during Chinese New Year, you will see this character everywhere, won't you, Brother Benny? It's everywhere. It's on those Chinese red pockets. It's on banners. It's on street shop windows. If you go to Hong Kong during Chinese New Year, this is everywhere. And, of course, the common custom is to wish others happiness, prosperity, and blessing in the next year ahead. And most of it has to do, of course, with your health, blessing upon your health, blessing upon your family, and, of course, a lot has to do with wealth, a blessing upon your life financially. And we know what Chinese culture defines in their culture today when it comes to happiness and blessing. But what did the ancient Chinese what did they relate to happiness and blessing? What immediately came to mind when they thought about what is the greatest blessing? What is the greatest happiness? Now, according to the Bible, here's a question. According to the Bible, what time in history was the greatest time of happiness and blessing for mankind? When was that?
In the Garden of Eden.
That's right. Why was that the greatest time of blessing?
Everything was good.
That's right. There was no sin. There was no death. Man walked in complete fellowship with God. God gave Adam and Eve the perfect place to live. He gave them everything they needed. They had a wonderful relationship with God, but it was sin that severed that. And notice what the Bible says. In the beginning, God, we know that God had a complete fellowship with man. We know biblically that's what leads to true happiness. Amen. Now, what comprises this character for blessing? There is a part which refers to God. That stroke at the top refers to one. The mouth also refers to man, a person, a speaking person in a garden. One man in a garden with God comprises the character for happiness and blessing. If you were to go to perhaps on the street today, and if you were to tell someone the greatest time of happiness in history was one man in a garden with God, I doubt that they want to listen to you anymore. But in the mind and heart of the Chinese people, the ancient Chinese that developed their language, what did they think of? What did they think of as the greatest time of happiness? Now remember, if the Bible is true and the language of the ancient Chinese language was written so long ago, in their hearts they still would have been grieved over the catastrophe of sin. They would have known God's judgment upon the world and the worldwide flood. They would have known God's judgment in the division from the Tower of Babel. They would have known what would happen. They would have looked back to once upon a time, if you will, that everything was perfect, that there was no death. That's an amazing truth, is it not? God and one man in a garden. Who on earth would ever think to create a character that referred to happiness and blessing as God and one man in a garden, or someone who knew the facts of creation and the reality of the Word of God, happiness and blessing. Now, we know that sin severed the relationship between man and God. Now, before we go any further, here's the character for West. We already know that the Chinese migrated to the East from the West. The Garden of Eden would have been in the West. Now, there's the character for West. I'll speed it up a little bit. Now, we know that the Garden of Eden, the Bible says, God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man who he had formed. Now remember, the ancient Chinese were seeking to create a character for West, something that indicated a westward direction, something that would be common to all. What did they refer to? One person in an enclosed garden. One person in a garden. Now, that gives a specific truth that it was meant to be common to all. One person in a garden refers to a westward direction, exactly from where those people went that had the same language that was formed into the Chinese language. Now, come with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 2. What did God command? Genesis chapter number 2, verses 16 and 17. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now we know God, in the Garden of Eden, placed Adam in there, and he told them that it was forbidden to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and everything else they may eat thereof. There was the tree of life also. And man knew that the moment he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would sin against God, and he would be severed from God. The Bible tells us, "Thou shalt surely die," and no longer would he be able to eat from the tree of life. We know that God removed Adam and Eve, did he not, from the Garden of Eden, so that they would not continue there in that place. Notice here's the character for forbidden. Again, if we were to create a character today that represents forbidden, we might think of all sorts of ideas. What is this comprised of? Now you can see that part. Two trees at the top of the character and a command. A command that refers to two trees. Now we know that one is a distinction from the other. There was one which they could not eat thereof, and there was the tree of life. And man was forbidden to eat one of the two trees. If he ate from one, the other would be taken from him also. Again, a very interesting and specific indication of what the Bible tells us was absolutely forbidden. God's one command of what was forbidden was eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was it not? That was certainly the most clear command. Now here we see a description of the serpent, the devil. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Here we see Satan tempting Eve, and Adam was there with her, to eat and to disobey God, to rebel against God. He said, "You will be as gods if you take of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Here's the symbol for covet. What do you see at the top of that character? You see two trees. We saw that the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes. We see two trees in this symbol to covet and to desire. And we see a woman coveting, desiring. We see that Eve in the scriptures saw that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired. And she coveted. She wanted that which she should not have had. And when the ancient Chinese created a character to represent a desire, a wrong desire, covetousness, they thought of two trees and a woman. Two trees and a woman. All right. Now, the Chinese have a character for the devil. Now, that's interesting too. In the Chinese culture today, you'll find all sorts of different ideas about who the devil is. When we were in Hong Kong, I went into a shop and they were selling hell banknotes. Hell banknotes that you burn as a sacrifice, isn't that right, Brother Benny? And all sorts of other objects like planes, paper planes and cars that you burn as a sacrifice in pagan worship in order to try and redeem a soul that's in hell. And you give these sacrificial offerings. Today, the Chinese have all sorts of ideas about the devil and who he is. What did the ancient Chinese think about who the devil is? There's a stroke that represents life. Motion, something secret, something private, in a garden with man. Now that's also interesting. This refers specifically to the devil, Satan. Here we go again, the tempter. The tempter includes that the character for devil within it, but includes also two trees and the idea of covering. So here we see that it's very interesting that the Chinese of old associated the devil with a garden and two trees. A garden and two trees, which obviously points straight to the scriptures of where the devil tempted man to sin. What he was certainly known for, what people would have known in their hearts, represented the wickedness of Satan and the fall of man from God's grace. Now, I think this is one of my favorites. Here we have the character for naked. Now, Again, if you were to create the character for Naked today for a language, what would first come to mind? You know, what if you were standing outside, even if you weren't completely naked, but semi-naked, and a wind blew and it was winter time? Now, how would you feel?
Shame.
That's right, shameful. Yes, we would think about shame. Definitely, nakedness represents shame. But what about how you would feel physically? Cold. You know, these are the immediate thoughts that come to my mind. I don't know about you. If I were to create a character for the word naked, what would you relate to? It's something that we can all relate to, something that's common to all of us. Cold, being cold, or being ashamed, being embarrassed. Now, what did the ancient Chinese believe was the most common thought that they would share with one another regarding the idea of being naked? A man, all right, and fruit. A man and fruit. Now that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. What does fruit have to do with being naked? Absolutely nothing, nothing at all, unless you know what the Bible says. Unless you understand the Word of God, unless you knew what happened in the Garden of Eden. Now come with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, and let's see the significance of this truth. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse 7. The Bible says in verse 6, as they ate of the tree of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, as they ate of that tree and rebelled against God, verse 7, and the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew they were naked. You see, Adam and Eve were naked, but they didn't know it. They were living, they were without sin. And the moment that they sinned, their relationship was severed from God, and they realized their shame, and they knew for the very first time that they were naked. Isn't it amazing? Within the Chinese character for the idea of being naked, it contains within it the idea of fruit. Fruit has nothing to do with our common understanding of being naked unless we understand the truth of the Word of God. Nakedness. Now again, this is, I think, one of my favorites as well. We understand back in the book of Genesis chapter 4, we're already there. Let's have a look in Genesis chapter number 4. Just a few more slides to go. Because man was separated from God by sin, God had already a wonderful salvation plan in place. Amen. The Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come. And we know that in the Old Testament, God required man to bring blood sacrifices that represented the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, that symbolized the blood of the Lamb of God that would be slain for our sins. Here we see the first, God clothed Adam and Eve, did he not, with the skin of a sacrificed animal. But we also see here that Abel brought a sacrifice. Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offerings. We know that without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. And the shedding of blood represented that wonderful covering of the Lord Jesus Christ's salvation for all mankind. We understand that it's through his precious blood that we are made righteous before God. We are all sinners. We are all condemned to an eternity in hellfire. But because of his holy, precious blood that was shed on the cross, we are made righteous in the sight of God when we repent and turn to Christ as our Savior. Here's the symbol for, here's the character for the idea of righteousness. Righteousness. What did the ancient Chinese associate with the idea of righteousness? Me and a sheep. Me and a sheep. Not only that, notice the position of the symbol for sheep. It is in fact on top of me. It is covering me. Isn't that amazing? The idea of righteousness. We are all unrighteous. We, without the covering of the blood of the Lamb, we are doomed to hellfire. And yet in the idea of the ancient Chinese, righteousness involves a sacrifice. It involves the shedding of blood. It involves a sheep. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful picture. Brother Evans in the Japanese language, also very similar to the Chinese, illustrated this as well. He uses it regularly. The covering of a sheep, righteousness. We can only be made righteous through the blood of the Lamb. Well, some fun facts about the flood to conclude. Now, how many people were on board the ark in Noah's day, Brother Hugh?
Eight
people. There was Noah and his wife, Shem, Ham and Japheth, and each of their wives, eight people on the ark. Okay? we'll go a little bit quickly now. Now, here's the character for boat. Now, when the ancient Chinese were creating a character to represent a large ship, that included a character for boat. Notice what, there's the character for large ship. So if you and I were thinking of a large ship, well, what would we think of? Well, let's see what they thought of. Person and eight. Eight people on a boat represents a large ship. Now, I have to admit today, that does not represent a large ship. A large ship in no way represents eight people on a boat. But yet, the Ark of Noah's day was the first and largest ship ever built. And there were only eight people on there, yes, but there were a tremendous amount of animals. And it was a giant ship. It was a large boat. Here we find eight people on a boat representing a large ship. Isn't that amazing? All right, total. Total. How many was the total population of the earth after the flood of Noah's day? Again? Eight people. Eight people. Now, here's the character for the idea of something, a completion or total number. Here we go. Eight united on the earth. Eight united on the earth represents the idea of a complete total. Again, straight back to the record of the book of Genesis telling us that there were only eight people living on the earth after the flood of Noah's day. And if the ancient Chinese wrote their language 4,500 years ago, they would have known that to be true. That's where they came from. They were Noah's. Noah was their great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, in according to the Bible. So here's the character for total. Here's the character for water. What, put those together, what do you think that will equal in the Chinese language? So eight people united on the earth plus water, flood. The character for flood. No doubt there were floods in China, in ancient China. No doubt floods, the rivers overflowed. But yet why would they think of eight united on the earth and some water? Because that was the flood of Noah's day. That was the flood of Noah's day and the biblical description. Now, how did the ancient people of China know these things? They didn't have the written word of God. They didn't have it in their hands. Remember that well-known history and common everyday things were used to form their language, so that everyone would understand, a simplicity, so that everyone could remember it. Here's the character to hand down and continue. Mouth, eight, and water. So what they had learnt from their forefathers was handed down to them by eight people that came from the flood. The population of the earth after the flood. Now, is it just coincidence that all these truths could be found in the Chinese characters? Yes or no?
No.
No, absolutely not. They had a unique, sacred and divine knowledge which only could come from a divine source. Mankind doesn't think of these things when they think of nakedness, when they think of a flood. No, this refers directly to the biblical account. And it also shows that the ancient Chinese believe in creation, not in evolution, not in billions of years of evolution, but creation, a living dust, man. The events of creation, the Garden of Eden, the fall, the flood of Noah's day. And this is just a wonderful example of something we can look at to say, hey, we know the Bible is true, but there's obvious evidence in the world, in science and in history and in archaeology, that back up the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, here's the thought that I want to conclude with. Why is it that China today, for example, is not a predominantly Christian nation? Why is it? Absolutely. That's right. Over the generations, what was passed down to them that formed their language faded away. It was not passed down. Unbelief set in. And brethren, here at Coastline Baptist Church, we need to be witnesses of the truth of God. Amen. We need to preach the gospel to the next generation. So the next generation will not forget that the Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ, that this is the truth of the Word of God, so that they would not forget that there is a Savior in the heavens that saved their soul, and they need to repent and receive Him. Amen. We need to be preaching the gospel, because you and I are just one generation away. One generation away of Coastline Baptist Church not being here. One generation away of the next generation being almost completely atheist or false religions. And brethren, we need to preach the word, amen.
This is just an interesting little stirring up. I trust it was a little treat at the end of our creation month. But praise the Lord for His word. We know it's true, but this is a little, perhaps an encouragement to pursue some more information along those lines. I've left a book in the foyer if you'd like to have a look at it. But praise God, He has given us His word. He's given us His word that leads us into truth. In a moment, we'll partake in the Lord's table. I'm mindful this evening that Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. We are only acceptable before God because of His righteousness.